Welcome back to 96.5 The Fan FM, home of the Kansas City Chiefs and the Kansas City Royals. Time to be joined now by a guy that's been on many times with me, Mark Ross from NFL Network. Spent 11 years with the Giants. He won two Super Bowls there. Spent 5 seasons vice president of player evaluation, 6 seasons director of college scouting. NFL Network analyst now. Lions in Chief re-airs on NFL Network on Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Central. So, if you missed the game, you can catch it at NFL Network, 10:30 a.m. Central, the following week. Mark, good evening.
Hey, man, how you doing? Been a while.
Hey, I'm just watching the in the studio. I got the Patriots game up there on NFL Network, and Patriots fans
how's
are
it going. I'm not watching it, unfortunately. Oh. I was at the Phillies game. I'm back in Philadelphia.
Oh,
we're at the Phillies game. How's it going?
Yeah, we get the Phillies coming up here soon. Oh, everybody's New England fans are salivating. It's almost gross, to be honest with you. Like, oh, our quarterback's questions are answered after a second preseason game. He started off hot, 5-8, 47 yards, but they've got 10 points in a preseason game, and he's got a rushing touchdown. So I don't necessarily know about that.
Nah, you got to wait till the real season gets going. The preseason is a lot of fool's gold in preseason, and you can't judge a lot there because the basic defenses and you got to wait till the real games get started to see how the evaluation goes.
You know, you can't really do that. And you hear so many coaches talking about preseason, you know, whether they limit the games or whichever direction, if they go to 2 games. But I think a lot of these coaches, I know Andy Reid, he probably gets more value out of practicing and scrimmaging with his own players. He's one of two teams that does not have a mixed practice with another team. And, I mean, he strongly believes, and I'm with him on that, because you can actually see more of what your players are doing in practice than you can a preseason game where they may only play a handful of plays.
Well, if you're going to emulate someone, it'd be Andy Reid. The guy knows what he's doing, right, JT? I mean, it's like two different organizations. With Philly, we had tons of success. I worked with Andy for 8 years in Philly, and he had his definite way of doing things. Now he's going to KC and even taking it to a whole nother level there, what he's done. So, I think when someone like that is doing it a certain way, like, maybe we should do that. And the whole mixed practices, and I saw someone get hurt today, Hubbard from the Panthers with a mixed practice. And it's like, I just don't – I never got the whole mixed practice, what it gets out of it. And a lot of coaches, the younger coaches, are newer coaches try to prove a point to say we've got to do this, be tough and all of that. But Andy has been – definitely on the forefront of, look, we can practice together and have our team practices be hard and get to maximize what we're trying to get done here.
And I know they value a lot of the pick. I mean, the Chiefs have done really well in the draft. They've done really well in the draft the last couple of years. They've spent a lot of capital on defensive backs. They loaded this defense up. Did that surprise you at all last year with the Chiefs, just how good Steve Spagnuolo had been? I mean, going from 55 to 57 sacks. He's finished second in the NFL the last 2 years, and people are like, oh, Kansas City didn't have a pass rush. Well, boom, second in the NFL in points against, and this defense better than the offense last year, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, that's the scary thing for the rest of the league, right, where it's when you think of KC, of course, you think about Mahomes and, prolific offense, and last year was a down year. And I've been saying this the whole – they were bad, and they still won the Super Bowl. So now watch out when he gets back right, and he's Mahomes, because Spags and the defense really carried the season last year until Mahomes made plays when he needed to make plays. And I've been with Spags, won the Super Bowl with him, so I know what he can do and, that whole crew there. And it's really a testament to – and Brett Veach and the young guys. Of course, Mahomes keeps everything together, and Andy keeps everything together, but they found gems – all throughout the draft and all different rounds of players that can contribute and play right away and say, we're going to make a winning, we're going to make winning plays for this team to win Super Bowls. So it's a testament to the whole organization, of course. But again, when you have Mahomes, everything's easier, but they've done an outstanding job of keeping everything together.
Yeah, what's funny is as much as people really talked about the offense struggling last year, in the playoffs, on the road or a neutral site, they beat number 1, 3, and 4 in scoring defenses. The only reason they beat number 2 because they was the Chiefs in scoring defense on the road. It was an incredible run. What would you think, Mark, when you looked at the Chiefs draft? I think Xavier Worthy is much more than just a speed guy. Matter of fact, I liked him a lot. I know he's undersized. I liked him a lot even before he ran that 4.21 40 at the combine. But getting back to the speed element, getting Mahomes the weapons. I know Hollywood Brown here going to miss some time with the shoulder, but he'll be back. He'll be back. Is it set an alarm that the Chiefs actually have some more offensive weapons they've had in the past?
Well, as you mentioned about Xavier Worthy, it's unfortunate that it's the gift and the curse of him running that fast 40 because it just became that's all he was. But he was a fast 40 on the field. You know, when I scouted him and I watched the film, he was the fastest guy I saw on film. And he can run routes, and he can catch the ball, and he can cause problems more so than just running straight line. So he's a complete receiver for what they'll do. And we talked about the offense kind of taking a step back last year. And, of course, when Tyreek left, it was, well, what are they going to do? Will they be good? Well, they went and won a Super Bowl without Tyreek, but maybe they were still missing that element of we've got the fastest guy on the field and we have someone that can stretch the field and cause a bunch of problems to stress the defense. And now that they have Xavier Worthy, he'll play that role as well. And more of a DeSean Jackson type of body type, but the same sort of element of, man, we got to get a couple people back here because this guy can run by everybody. And that's going to open up everything for Mahomes with Kelce and the rest of the crew there underneath. So I love the pick. It was I did a top 10 best fits with rookies coming into a situation, and he was my second guy on the list. Caleb Williams was number one. He was number two.
I remember that.
I absolutely love the pick of when they took Xavier Worthy.
Talking to Mark Ross of NFL Network. And, Mark, just a couple more questions here. Who would you put in that tier one? I've always been asking people that, like Chiefs, the Ravens, the Bengals, the Bills. I mean, who the Texans, who would you consider being the biggest threats from the AFC?
It's the Ravens, Chiefs. And I was at Ravens camp a couple weeks ago, and I loved the Ravens last year. I believed in what they did all last throughout the season, and played the Chiefs, and they just got away from what they do. You know, and you saw that, like, what are you guys doing?
Run
the ball, you're physical.
It's
like, why are you dropping back all the time? It was kind of bizarre what happened. It seemed like the Ravens were just completely out of sorts the whole time when they played the Chiefs in that game with the penalties and just not doing what they do. And now they bring in Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, yes, we're going to get even more so back to our identity of who we are, Ravens football. So I would expect to see a Ravens-Chiefs AFC championship game. You know, Bengals will be in the mix. Bill, there'll be a bunch of teams in the mix, but I just really think that those two teams are far superior to everyone else just because of Chiefs has done it. They got Mahomes. They got Andy Reid. They're going to be there. And the Ravens, I overall, have the best team. And Lamar will be back, and that extra little motivation of, yeah, we messed that thing up last year. We got Derrick Henry now, and I think it'll be a fascinating AFC championship game between the two.
Final question for you, Mark. Do you buy into the Texans or not? I mean, we've seen a lot of teams that are good one year and not the next. We've seen Jacksonville go up and down with this stuff too. But DeMeco Ryans really seems like, I mean, I think San Francisco's defense took a step back without him. Loved him in the playoffs beating Cleveland. Loved C.J. Stroud. And DeMeco Ryans, to me, I think he continues this thing, and I think the team continues to get better.
Yeah, I think the difference is, and I've heard a lot of that with the Texans or the new Jaguars. No, they're not. The Jaguars kind of got right and won some games here and there, and I never thought Trevor Lawrence really made that step. Whereas C.J. Stroud, last year, like game one, like, wow, he looks great. And then each week I was expecting him to kind of level off, and he just kept getting better. Whereas I look at C.J. Stroud as borderline top five quarterback in the league, and DeMeco Ryans is a top 10 coach in the league already, where I never had that belief in the Jaguars with Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson. So I think that they're legit because C.J. Stroud is legit, and he can go toe-to-toe, and they'll put up a fight. I think they'll win the division. They'll be in the mix. It'll be entertaining, but they definitely are for real.
Great stuff. Mark Ross, NFL Network, again, 11 years with the Giants, won a couple Super Bowls there. And don't forget, Lions and Chiefs will air on NFL Network on Sunday at 10:30. So if you missed the game Saturday, you can sit there and watch it on Sunday. This is the one to watch because the third preseason game is like the fourth preseason game. You won't see a whole bunch of anything. So try to enjoy it as much as you can. Mark, I always appreciate you joining us, and thank you very much for coming on the first night of us moving to FM.
Yes, anytime.
Thank you, Mark Ross, right there. I'll discuss, is there anything that stood out from you? Are you buying into the Texans, JT?
I am drinking the Kool-Aid.
Okay.
Just because of two reasons. They went out and did what they needed to do in the offseason. Okay, hey, guess what? We have a quarterback on our rookie deal. Let's go get some more weapons for him to go around and do their thing. And guess what? That's what they did. They went and got Stephon Diggs. I think they're doing the right approach with what they're doing because of the contract that they have with C.J. Stroud.
You know, Mark doesn't believe they're going to be the Jags, and I'm with him on that. I'll choose to believe in them, but typically I've always been the thought of back it up. You remember Blake Bortles taking the Jaguars to the AFC title game, right? Looked like they were taking the right steps, then boom, they come right back to the path. Bortles sucks, and he's out of the league, right? And then you look at what happened. Trevor Lawrence, has a comeback win in the playoffs against the Chargers, Justin Herbert. Do we put Trevor Lawrence ahead of Justin Herbert now, right? That was the talk. Trevor Lawrence gets the bag in the offseason. This is the team that even Peter King had as the number one seed in the AFC before the season started last year, right? They didn't even make the playoffs. They took a step back. Can Houston take that step forward continuously? And I think they will, because C.J. Stroud doesn't show signs of weakness to me. This seems like a quarterback that's going to get better and better.
Yeah, he looks like the ultimate competitor. And I'll be the first one to say this. I thought...
And he broke that Ohio State myth, right?
Right. He broke the myth and the bust. He broke it. My thing was, is I was huge on Bryce Young last year. And C.J. Stroud, I think, went obviously to a better situation. It's always about situations. So C.J. went to a better situation. Carolina's got their own problems. They're like on their own land. And C.J. comes in. I thought D'Amico Ryan did a great job.
They started Jack Plummer in the first preseason game. That's a big joke they are.
Yeah. So, but I thought D'Amico Ryans did such a well job of letting the offense do their thing. When you talk about it, D'Amico Ryan is a defensive-minded head coach. He didn't, in his press conferences, he always said, listen, I brought in an offensive coordinator to run the offense. I'm going to do what the defense needs, and I'm going to help what the team needs. But the offense is going to be ran by the offensive coordinator. He didn't want to get involved with the offense, and it showed because he let the offense do their things, and they were a well-oiled machine on the offensive side late in the year, and C.J. Stroud is going to be great, and I think he's going to turn out to be better than Deshaun Watson would have been for them. And I can't wait to see.
He started off the right path. I mean, he had beaten Mahomes. He had a 24-0 lead that his team blew it. And he led the NFL in passing before the whole.
Yeah. You know, the whole off the field. Yeah. I love what they're doing. I love Tank Dell, the wide receiver they also have over there. He's 100%. Coming back had an injury last year and bringing in Stephon Diggs. The only concern
and Joe Mixon there now, too.
The only concern I do have is the off the field problem with Stephon Diggs. Will his antics get in the way of a team chemistry?
Because at first it's great.
Right.
At first it's great. People buy into it. It's a team guy. And then all of a sudden he wears out his welcome like he did in Minnesota.
Exactly.
Like he did in Buffalo.
That's the only worry I have where if, hey, CJ's throwing it to Tank Dell and he's giving it to Joe Mixon, I want some of the shine. Where's my shine? And he starts making sure it's all about him. We talked about it at the beginning of the show. Leave the ego at the door. Stephon Diggs does not know how to do that.
I actually think it's going to be a battle with them and the Colts in the AFC South.
Not you do think the Colts? Jags.
You know what? I'm not buying it. I know the Titans went out and bought a bunch of shiny new toys. They went wild in the free agency. Not buying into it, though. I like the Colts and the Texans better in that division.
Yeah, I would say the Titans are going to be...
I actually think the division's halfway decent if the Titans can prove something, but, I mean...
What is Will Levis, Mayo Boy, going to do? That's where you got a concern.
Will Levis, I always look at the quarterback. What's the quarterback going to do? And I love the AFC North.
You like the AFC? I love the AFC. Yeah, that's top down, especially if IU goes to Pittsburgh.
Well, we'll see what Cleveland is. Maybe Cleveland's nothing with Deshaun. I don't know. Cleveland could very well be the worst team in that division. I think they might be, to be honest with you. I think the Bengals and Ravens will battle it out. The Steelers, they'll be an efficient team, obviously.
Mike Tomlin's always going to have a .500 team.
Still dealing with Russell Wilson or Justin Fields. And right now, Justin Fields has been playing wide receiver for him, right? I mean, they're in a world of hurt.
You want to – okay, I know we're talking about the AFC right now. But I've had this on my mind all night because I have the wildest take, and you're going to laugh at me.
Maybe, maybe not.
What if Jaden Daniels turns out to be the next the C.J. Stroud of last year to this year and takes the Commanders into a wild card spot?
You know what? I'm not going to laugh at that at all because I agree with you. Jaden Daniels was actually my favorite quarterback coming out of the draft. I watched him in the preseason last week. Remember him connecting deep on that first pass?
Oh, beautiful.
I mean, mixed reviews. And listen, it's a good team. LSU's going to have two top 10 offensive linemen this year drafted, so he protected. But I love the way the kid plays, man. He's a winner. And he was my favorite. I understand Caleb Williams is in the draft, and a lot of people like Caleb and everything. I would have taken Jaden Daniels.
You would have?
But the Commanders and Ben Sinnott, the tight end from Kansas State, fullback tight end, he's been destroying people with the Commanders. I liked, and it's new leadership there. I actually liked Washington's draft.
Yeah, and also, Scary Terry's still out there. Terry McLaurin's out there. I think they're really...
I don't think that's a crazy take at all.
Now, I don't know if they win the division, but that would be my dark horse. Like, oh, we talk about last to first. That would be my dark horse to be like, hey, guess what? They could win the division, and I wouldn't be that shocked at it.
Well, you think about the defense. It's been good in the past and stuff like that. You bring in...
And you bring Dan Quinn over. I mean, I love the hire. I know he's a defensive mind and you want to go offense, but Dan Quinn, what he did for the Cowboys on that defensive side, crazy.
Yeah, knows the division, knows what goes on. They're an interesting team to me. I think that they're an interesting team for sure, but Jaden Daniels, I certainly liked. I actually like this year's, quarterbacks. I'm going to be interested to see how the thing works out. Bo Nix, I'm curious how that works out in Denver. I don't like him as well as the other guys. But you think about Jerzon Newton from Illinois. That was a great pick by the Commanders. Ben Sinnott went there. Luke McCaffrey went there as well. That was like a guy that I halfway wanted in the late rounds for the Chiefs. He ends up going in the third. I would have had him pegged more for a fourth or fifth round type guy. But I did like their draft in the direction they're going. So we'll see. Coming up next, though, it looks like they're going to make a movie out of somebody that everybody knows. But will you watch it? And guess who they got to star in it next? Welcome back to 96.5 The Fan. Jay Binkley, JT Noah, producing the operation. Mark Ross, by the way, from NFL Network that we had on a little bit before. He's interesting, too, because he was with Andy Reid for 8 years, right? So you get in, he's with Spags and all that out there. He did the whole, what's funny is when you do best fits to succeed in the first year, his number one was Caleb Williams in Chicago. His number two was Xavier Worthy in the Chiefs.
Yeah, he mentioned that too, yeah.
Just the perfect fit. This is why I looked it up. It's like, oh, yeah, I remember this. Yeah, the perfect fit, the perfect guy. He really likes it. I think Buffalo, like Gene talking about, buyer's remorse. Well, here's the thing. Nobody's left once Tredavious White's, gone. He's gone now. They have nobody left from the Mahomes picks. So the picks they used to get players when they traded for Mahomes, nobody's left. Then, they schooled the Bills, and people laugh about it, that Trent McDuffie deal, right? But the Bills are sitting there going, who got in front of it? Oh, the Chiefs got, the Chiefs jumped them to get McDuffie. Do you remember when they did that and how infuriated they were? The Chiefs have always, and I remember sitting there yet last year, and I'm with Gene, say they can't believe it, man. Like, they still can't believe the Chiefs traded. I remember sitting there at the landing in Liberty going, I can't believe what we just saw. Like, I can't believe that just happened. And they ended up with Kyir Elam. They ended up drafting him. Remember, he can barely get on the field. He's not even a starter for the Bills. That was their choice instead of Trent McDuffie, right? Because the Chiefs jumped up and got Duffy at 21. He ends up going to pick 23.
Yeah, they couldn't believe that. And then we were all at the landing. I had brought my brother up to the landing, and when they were like, the Chiefs have traded with the Bills, I was like, well, ain't that something? Because that was probably the second-to-last team I thought they would trade with. And it just shows sometimes, and you could tell that people were upset, not only Bills fans, but other fans in the NFL. Like, why do you keep helping this team? You not only give them Patrick Mahomes, but now you're going to help them get the fastest wide receiver in the draft.
And they'll talk themselves into Keon Coleman. Again, the slowest 40 time, but he was great in the gauntlet drill and other drills, right? Which the NFL teams are looking more at those than the actual 40 time. Puka destroyed that, theory last year with the Rams. I mean, after all, he was their fifth or their third fifth round pick. So it's not like they, every team passed on him. But the Rams, again, he was their third fifth round pick when they got Puka. The Chiefs did a great job of getting Rice because he was number two in the NFL as far as rookie receivers and yards and catches. So he did great. But Buffalo will have to talk themselves into Keon Coleman. And the worst part about it is, by them trading back, they lose that fifth-year, you know, option on that player.
Yeah.
And so that really was head-scratching with Buffalo. And then, you know, there'll be people that talk themselves into it. And they'll say, well, we're these small. You know, he's got a small frame. And, you know, we'll take our Keon Coleman. You know, and guys like that, they talk themselves into it. But then in the back of your mind, you get to have that little bit of doubt creeping in. It says, well, maybe the Chiefs know what they're doing. They are back-to-back Super Bowl champions. They obviously valued Xavier Worthy more than we did, just like they valued Trent McDuffie more than we did, and they jumped ahead of him and grabbed him, even though they were going to take him, but they had to settle on Kyrie Elam two picks after McDuffie, and the fact that the Chiefs got Mahomes. And yes, they ended up getting Josh Allen a couple years later, but the bottom line is they trade him in a second for Mahomes. He's just been better than Josh Allen. Like, the rivals of this team helped build the Chiefs. The Bills are squarely responsible for making this team town what it is. The four Super Bowl appearances by Mahomes, that's brought to you by the Buffalo Bills making a trade. Or the Chiefs didn't have a left tackle there for a while, and the Orlando Brown, I know people aren't real wild on Orlando Brown, still started for this team for 2 years and won a Super Bowl with them. They didn't have a left tackle because they didn't get Trent Williams. They really wanted Trent Williams in free agency, didn't get him. They found a way to get Orlando Brown. Oh, and by the way, got pick 58 as well, which turned into Nick Bolton.
Thank you.
So these rivals of the Chiefs with the Ravens, because at that point it was the Ravens and the Chiefs, and now it's back to kind of that way again. But what's funny is what built the dynasty, what built the Kansas City Chiefs machine, you got to thank the Buffalo Bills. Matter of fact, I'd put them in the Ring of Honor and say Buffalo Bills right there, you know.
Man.
Next to, like, you know, Bobby Bell and all that, and Will Shields and all that, but Buffalo Bills.
I mean, they are very much very helpful for what we did. And
they're,
I think,
the reason we're good.
Right. Also, I got a question. Did you think when they traded back the Bills, did you think they were going after Ladd McConkey?
You know, I was unsure what the hell they were doing, to be honest with you. I thought A.D. Mitchell, to be honest with you. Which, you know what, A.D. Mitchell, he's better than Keon Coleman. I mean, he is destroying things in Indy. You watch it this year. Look at Keon Coleman's stats and look at A.D. Mitchell's at the end of this year, and A.D. Mitchell will smoke him. You've been seeing these highlights of A.D. Mitchell at Indy. A.D. Mitchell went way too far back. He was our mock draft selection. We had Xavier Worthy in our first one, but we got down to Xavier Worthy. Or no, excuse me, A.D. Mitchell. We really liked A.D. Mitchell a lot. And you know what? You see the videos of some of the catches he's making. I know they're videos, and you can't put a lot of stock into that, but the dude is legit. And he had the lowest drop rate in college football with receivers over 100 targets.
Yeah, I think he's going to be really, really dominant with healthy Anthony Richardson, who I hope can stay healthy, because I think that could be a nice duo, another duo in the AFC South. I mean, you put a duo in the AFC South, you've got Richardson and AD, then you also have CJ Stroud with obviously Stephon Diggs, or you can even put Tank Dell there, and then you go to Jacksonville, and Jacksonville, you don't got a duo with Trevor Lawrence. I mean, where's their wide receiver? They lost all the wide receivers. Calvin Ridley's now with Tennessee.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. And he used the Patriots to drive up that price, right? The Patriots can never land that wide receiver. Here's what the Bills are going to be watching for the guys that could have. Obviously, Xavier Worthy they could have had. Ricky Pearsall, I don't think that they worry about that one with Frisco. Actually, you know, Frisco's made some really bad draft picks, but they never get crap. Like the Trey Lance thing, they still haven't explained that one. Xavier Leggett goes before, but they could have had him. But yes, they drafted Keon Coleman right before Ladd McConkey. And keep in mind, I think A.D. Mitchell is going to be better than all of them. But Ladd McConkey is the one that went right behind Keon Coleman.
Yeah, the only reason the 49ers don't give as much crap for their Trey Lance pick is because of what Brock Purdy turned into.
Oh, I know. They got lucky. Remember last year when they were trying to maybe smooth Tom Brady to going out there? Tom Brady would have started for the team, not Brock Purdy. It was the last pick in the draft. So
it's a great story, but come on.
Yes. 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 They did.
Like, it's
but
just
you
like,
know what? The, again, I think just like the Rams got Puka Nacua, the third pick in the fifth round. Yeah, some teams get lucky. I think the 49ers got lucky. Purdy, they sold their farm. They sold their soul for Trey Lance. And he was hot garbage.
Yeah, yeah. I loved how everyone thought.
And Pearsall may not be anything either.
Yeah, we don't know what Pearsall can do.
He's banged up and stuff like that there.
I mean, I honestly, Pearsall, I thought, had 2 to 3 really good games for Florida, and he had a highlight catch that went
over
social media. That one-handed catch he made over the middle was all over the place.
It's a good roster, and they've had a lot of injuries out in Frisco. This team has less rest. This team has less rest than anybody else.
Also, the Chase Young, or the they traded for Chase Young, who didn't do much for him. I mean, there's a lot that front office could get a lot of crap for, and it kind of gets slid under the rug because of Brock Purdy or how well they got. Like, CMC was obviously a great trade, but I mean, the Chase Young trade, not good. The trade up to get Lance,
CMC
not good.
For him. That
that's right. That's
for
what
him.
I'm saying. Yeah, that's about it.
Agreed.
Like, nothing else has really worked for them, but they don't get enough crap for it because of really the NFC being lackluster.
Cody Schrader's out there with them, by the way. Oh, by the way, speaking of, how about this for the Royals? Things are working out for the Royals, aren't they here? Orioles are 5-1 over the Red Sox now.
Yeah, they won it. It was final. 5-1.
Oh, it's final. Yep. Oh, I have met 8 still, but he said it's final at this point. Top of the
My
third, the Twins and Rangers are tied.
Yeah, I got the game on right now, actually.
Oh, are they still tied?
They are tied. 2-2, bottom of the fifth. There's a runner on second for the Rangers.
Let's go, Rangers. Mariners lost to the Tigers. That's good. The John Madden, there's going to be a documentary, a movie coming out about John Madden. Have you seen anything about that?
I have not.
It's made its way around Twitter. A lot of people start, you know, say hey, this Madden movie's coming out. Nicolas Cage is going to star in it. He's going to star in this movie. I read, you know who they tried out? Before the guys they were considering being Madden before they selected Nicolas Cage?
Who?
Will Ferrell and Hugh Jackman. Will Ferrell's funny and stuff. Would you actually want him being Madden? I wonder how Nicolas Cage is going to pull this off. I mean, early on Madden, maybe? I don't know. I am interested because Madden's just a trendsetter, man. Madden with the video game deal. He brought people. He's a super winning coach. Brings people to the broadcast booth. Made football fun. Totally changed how we view Thanksgiving. Man, so I can't wait to watch it. I am curious how they're going to do it, but it's a biopic of John Madden.
You said Nicolas Cage?
Nicolas Cage is going to portray John
Madden.
I just
looked him up. How is he going to play Madden?
I don't know.
They got to put some pillows in his shirt.
Well, unless it's the early on Madden, but still, you know, Madden was never small, even coaching the Raiders. We'll see, but they said that they interviewed Will Ferrell and was considering Will Ferrell and Hugh Jackman before Cage was cast. So we'll see. Interesting stuff there. Is this roster better than last year? Mitch Holtis was on with the Drive earlier. He said some interesting things. We'll do that next. 3 weeks from tonight, the Chiefs will be playing the Baltimore Ravens in game one as the journey for three-peat begins. 3 weeks. That's it. Training camp's done. They went home today. Boom, gone. Load the trucks back. I wonder if the media is there filming, taking the stuff back like they do when they're taking it there. You know, that's always the story on the news. Hey, the Chiefs loaded up the semis, headed up there. They're going to show them to come back.
No, they don't ever show him coming back.
Of course, they don't ever show him coming back. From the text line, we have a Scott from Mother's Brewing in Springfield. He goes there and always chimes in. I told him, because he always listens, 417 down there. I mentioned I had the Mother's Oktoberfest. I know you're a fine. You like good beer, don't you there, JT? You always have.
I can't actually drink beer.
Oh, so. No, not you. Your girlfriend, right?
Yep.
She's the beer hound, right?
Yep, she is.
Okay, and her dad, was it her dad that likes it too? Or
Yeah, he likes occasional beer, yeah.
Well, who'd you bring up here that would really, I don't remember. I don't know who I'm thinking. I think I'm thinking of your girlfriend. But anyway, Mother's Oktoberfest, great beer. Because I've been buying the Oktoberfest lately. They got some Sam Adams there too. There's like a million different kinds at liquor stores. And it's out now, so you're waiting for it. It actually comes out at the end of July. That's when it's real fresh, going and getting some Oktoberfest. But, yes, really good stuff there. Mitch Holthus, the voice of the Chiefs, was on with Carrington Harrison at 5 o'clock today. And I agree 100% with this sentiment as far as this roster over last year's.
You got to win the division first. You got to focus in. And just because you won it 8 in a row doesn't mean you get the birthright to win it 9 in a row. It's on. But I will tell you, the Chiefs are better. This is a better team than they were a year ago. Because I asked this question. We'll do this discussion again before the season starts probably. You think the Chiefs are going to go 4-4 at home? You think the Chiefs are going to go minus 11 in the giveaway takeaway? Think the Chiefs are going to have 45 drops? And the third level's open for business again? Just put all those things and put it and go, maybe not. Think they're going to have to face a December where they had to face 5 straight opponents with 9 or 14 days rest? No. I'm telling you, it's on. It's on. But the rest of the division will be better. I agree with that. But so are the Chiefs.
See, he's 100% right. I do feel that this roster is better than last year's. Several different areas. I think the tight end situation is better with adding Wiley to it. I think the wide receivers better off. I mean, this is including Hollywood Brown, but of course he's hurt. But still, I think Xavier Worthy definitely gives you that speed element, bring that speed back to this game. Love the running game. The defense, yeah, I have no problem even with Snead gone because Snead's just like he didn't practice at all in training camp last year. He's having a tough time practicing for the Titans this year. But when Mitch was talking about less rest, Warren Sharp, you follow him. You know who he is.
Oh, yeah, Warren Sharp. I know who he is.
Sharp football. But he breaks down things, and he looks at a lot of things, man, crunch numbers. The Chiefs were the only team he could find that had 6 straight weeks of less rest than their opponent. Obviously, things have changed, the amount of primetime games that teams have on Thursday night. So it's different than the way it used to be, right? I get that. But they had less rest. This year is the 49ers with less rest. And there was something to that. Do you remember the Chiefs very easily could have beat the Buffalo Bills? They were a team that ended up being the 2 seed. Remember the whole deal? That was when Tony was offsides.
Yep.
And it cost the Chiefs the touchdown in that game. They would have beat the Bills. The Bills, even though they played in London, their bye week was right before that Chiefs game. So they had that whole week off and then that week. The Chiefs just continued to play teams that had a hell of a lot less rest than they did. That does matter, man, especially to a team that's played more football than anybody the last 6 years. Not everybody. Of course, a lot of these guys are still in college, but a lot of these guys have gone to the Super Bowl and won rings the last 2 years. You look at Mahomes and Kelce and Chris Jones, they've played more football than anybody. They've gone to the AFC title game in overtime or lost in the Super Bowl or won the Super Bowl the last 6 years. That's all they've done. So they've played more football than anybody. So, yes, rest is a big thing for the Chiefs. I hate the fact the bye week is so early for them. But having more rest is huge. And not only that, one of the kind of scheduling quirks this year is the fact that the Chiefs will have that extra rest before the Bengals game. I think that works out actually real well for them because you're playing the Ravens, of course, on Thursday night. You've had all offseason to get prepared for the Ravens. Like, I'm glad that's a challenging team, right? I'm glad that's a good team. Because we know Andy Reid and what he does after a bye week. And I know he lost last year after the bye week. But think Andy Reid's, 28-3 in his career after the bye, including postseason. He's very good. And you gave him the whole offseason as a bye. And I get it. He had the whole offseason last year with the Lions. But we know that he missed 2 of his best players, 2 of his top 3 in Kelce and Jones.
And Kelce got hurt like a week before the game. It wasn't like he had a month to prepare for it.
But they don't play again until the Bengals 3:25 the following Sunday.
And it's at home. So it's not like you're going to Cincinnati. You're staying at home again.
So you've got the whole deal there. And I think that's a huge lift because you're thinking about because we're talking tiers, like who's in your tier 1? Is it Buffalo? Is it Cincinnati? Is it the Ravens? You're getting 2 of them right off the bat. You're getting 2 of them, boom, boom. You're getting to play these guys. And not only that, but Cincinnati, they have to go to New England. They could go out to New England. Keep in mind, it'll be a warm game at that point. It's not like they're going out there when it's going to be cold. But still, though, that's a nice edge. I mean, just the Chiefs, like I said, have played more football than anybody. The one scheduling thing I don't like, 2 things I don't like. I don't like when the bye week is. And the other thing is, too, did you notice what happens once it gets to December to the rest of the year? There's potential for them to all be cold weather games. Sunday, December 8th versus the Chargers at home. Kansas City's weird. It could be cold as hell in zero for a week, or it could be 65 and sunny. So it's a mixed bag. Then you're at Cleveland December 15th. It's probably going to be cold there. Good chance to be cold. Then you have Houston at home on the December 21st. Again, who knows what the hell the weather could be then. Then you're at Pittsburgh on Christmas Day. And then you're at Denver January 5th. So you're talking the potential for cold weather and snowy games for the Chiefs once you get to December to finish out the season. Those three games in 11 days, that stretch, forgot to bring that up. That'd be my third scheduling quirk. When everything is kind of just right there together.
Yeah, because it's got that weird Christmas game in the middle.
Yeah, as far as the they play the 15th, the 21st, and the 25th.
Yeah. Brutal.
Boom, boom, boom. So, JT Noah, producing the operation, Jay Binkley, that's looking at the schedule in this situation. Coming up next, though, we'll take a look at the Royals, because I'm a scoreboard watcher. I'm a scoreboard watcher, and this ends up being a very good night for the Royals. Royals are chilling in Cincinnati, little off day before the Reds for a three-game series. Hey, man, only teams I'm worried about, Boston. If the Royals don't win the division, Boston, Seattle, maybe. Can the Royals catch the Twins? Only a game and a half back from bottom of the sixth. Twins and Rangers tied at two. Let's go Rangers. The Mariners lost again to Detroit 2-1 today. So that goes in their favor. The Red Sox lose 5-1 to the Orioles. So they'll lose ground to the Royals once again, chasing the Royals there. 5-1 as the Orioles beat the Red Sox. Good things are happening. Good things are happening with the off day for the Royals. Did you happen to see this deal, JT, on what, you know, baseball is already doing all this. The traditionalists hate all the, like, the new additions they're doing. You know, you can't do the shift. And I wasn't wild about that. The pitch clock, things like that. I'm good with that because there's some pitches, like Kenley Jansen, if you're watching him pitch, takes forever in between pitches. But there's just certain things, the extra wild card, things like that I liked. But there's one, putting the guy on second in the extras, not a fan of that. But there is some belief, it's according to Bleacher Report. Actually, it's according to Jesse Rogers, but the story's from Bleacher Report. There's some belief around MLB that starting pitchers should be required to play a minimum of six innings before leaving the mound. No, you should be able to do whatever you want. I understand it sucks not having the pitchers of yesteryear. But there's obviously things that are different. Like if you've given up four runs, if there's an injury, there are circumstances where you can pull the pitcher. Clearly, if he's getting shelled, he shouldn't have to pitch six innings. You know, you feel me on that?
Yeah, there's no way you should make a pitcher pitch six innings or go a minimum. I'm totally cool with it having to be a minimum to win a game, quote unquote.
We've seen so many Tommy Johns lately and stuff like that.
Right, exactly. You got to have health come into the factor. I disagree with that wholeheartedly.
I just, you know, what happened to the chess game? Even like the shift, I was fine with it because it's like football. You can only do certain things, right? They come up with the wildcat as something to try to counteract and throw defenses off guard. The Chiefs try trick plays all the time. Like, you do what you can if it's legal, right? You keep doing it.
Just keep doing it.
Yeah, would I like to see pitchers go further? Yeah, I would. I'd like to see them go at least six innings or seven innings, but it's become a bullpen game. If you're a bullpen now, you're like, nah, man, they're paying big-time money right now. Because the Royals, you know, really in 14 and 15 and 13, I mean, the Royals kind of set that trend for how good the bullpen can be. Regardless, I don't see this flying. I know there's, except it's like four runs, things like, because there's going to be a lot of people biting back on this. Like what? Cause the opener's gone. If you do this, having the opener is completely ruled out of the equation. You won't be able to do it at all. But baseball needs to slow down just a little bit. They need to work on that automatic strike zone first, which they're doing. But I think I'm going to see that before I do anything else.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I like the changes on how fast they're moving the game. They want the game to move up, keep the audience more entertained and more into the game. And I think that's what the pitch clock does. I think that's what the extra inning rule does. So I'm totally cool with those. But saying that you have to go a bare minimum of six innings, that is going to make a lot of pitchers more injured.
Yeah, I agree with you. You don't want to lose them in the premium that you're paying. you know, they just want to make stars at him. They want more stars, like the Paul Skeens of the world. These, you know, these superstars, a starting pitcher, and people getting behind them and enjoying. But that's the thing with baseball. You're never going to make it as popular as you want. I know they've tried with the draft by having it instead of in June, early June. They have it at the All-Star game now, which I think helps because your beat writers aren't covering a game. They can cover your draft, so you get more coverage for it. And they've tried to make it better, but it'll never be better. The draft, you know, Mike Trout, when he was there, you know, with their studio in the jersey, when he was, they tried that rule. They just have to understand that their players will never be front page stars like the NFL. They're never going to get deals. I'm sure Bobby Witt Jr. is one of the best baseball players on the planet. He'll get endorsement. Is he going to sniff any near the endorsements of a Patrick Mahomes? No.
Not a chance.
It's just football players, even average football players, get big-time advertising deals. It's just two different sports. And that's the one thing. I mean, they're fine with the game's popular right now. People are showing up. They're going to the games. The quick games are helping the ratings.
Exactly. It's helping the ratings. And if you do this, starting pitchers are going to start, even now, I think starting pitchers are kind of like running backs in the NFL. People don't want to pay them the premium or what they're due. And if you do this, then it's just going to drop the market even more for starting pitchers because no one's going to pay them because guess what? They have how many Tommy Johns? Oh, this guy has two. This guy has three. And then everyone's going to start devaluing starting pitching and looking more for relievers and long relievers to go.
I mean, they have done right. I like the fact they play every team in baseball. Like, I like that now that you're actually, because you get a chance to see some of the way you should be because baseball is so regional now. People pay attention to their regional favorite team, not much else. I'll sit there and watch games on MLB Network or whatever. I'm interested in that. If the, you know, Dodgers playing the Padres tonight, it's a nice rivalry game. I'll sit there and watch that. But a lot of people don't watch it, but they'll watch whatever NFL game. It doesn't matter if Houston's playing Buffalo. They'll watch it. Like,
right.
It matters. Like, the NFL's found a way to make everything matter.
I like the idea of the Dodgers having to play, say, okay, hey, guess what? You're going to have to go play the Royals. The Royals are going to have to go play the Pittsburgh Pirates. Like, though you're getting O'Neill Cruz and Bobby Witt, and then this weekend you're getting Ellie De La Cruz and Bobby Witt, who are both superstars, young superstars.
Yeah, you're getting the young superstars of the game. The other thing, too, is, you know, don't start the season internationally. I just like the way the NFL does it. You should always have the World Series champion playing somebody. And because everybody plays everybody, you can even set up the World Series rematch in opening day and have it that way, just like the NFL. I mean, it's going to be so big. Love or hate the Chiefs, whatever, people are going to be watching that game like crazy nationally because the Chiefs, they were the first ones on Amazon, first ones on Peacock. They're going to be the first ones on Netflix. The Chiefs are the story now, man. Again, they've gotten to that point. You love them or hate them, you're still watching them.
Most definitely. You're going to watch them, and you're going to either hate on them or you're going to love on them, and I'm here for the joy. I remember when I hate the Patriots because how good they are. Now we're the Patriots, and everyone hates on us because of how good we are.
Yeah. Sports hate does make it fun. I remember Parkins talking about that when he was here. The sports hate make it fun. Anyway, thanks to Mark Ross, NFL Network analyst, for joining us. Spent 11 years with the Giants in the front office. Thank you to Gene Battaglia, ESPN Rochester, The Fan, our sister station out there. And thanks to you, JT Noah. We're 3 weeks away, my man.
I am so ready. I know you're ready. It's going to be a fun roller coaster of emotions, another Chiefs season. I remember last year, my first game was the opening night. We lost, and I thought the whole world was crumbling because of how the fans were reacting.
And thanks for listening on 97.5 The Fan. We appreciate it.
96.5 The Fan.
96, what did I say?
97.
Oh, I'm sitting here staring at the Rochester's. 96.5. Anyway, Dusty and Bob, 5:58. See you guys later.